All right, so if you have your Bibles today, do we have anybody with Bibles? It could be on your iPhone, it could be on your Android, it could be an actual physical device. Do any people remember these guys? Yeah, it can be a pen and paper. Yes, it can be of any form or format that you may have. But open your Bibles with me today to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Who's the first person that can spell the word Isaiah? Isaiah is a tricky word. Yes, Katie. Oh, yeah, you can cheat. That's fine.
Isaiah.
Yes. Woohoo. That's a hard thing to spell, especially if you're spelling it a bunch of times in a row. It can get kind of tongue-twisty and a little tricky. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 43 today. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to there. We're going to look at verses 18 and 19. Verses 18 and 19. God's word says this. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Listen to that again. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us, Lord. Now, this is the last time of this year in 2017 that we're going to get together, Lord. And God, I just thank you for that, Lord. There's so many other places that we could be in a cold day like this. God, we could be at home, snuggled up under our covers, sleeping. God, we could be resting. God, we could be watching the different programs on TV. We could be traveling and on vacation all over different planes, Lord. But God, we're right here to close out the new year with you and your worship service and your church. Lord, we want to bring you glory and honor in all that we do today, Lord. And so I pray, God, that you would just use me as an instrument, Lord. God, I'm just a human, and I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just take over, God. And you would just be able to share whatever needs to be shared, God, as we go forth with your message today, Lord. God, I pray that we bring you great glory and pleasure, but God, also that we leave here challenged, Lord, with stirred hearts, God, so that we can be who you created us to be, creatures that love you, Lord, and that love one another. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, but thank you most for laying down your life so that we can be saved, so that we could go to heaven someday. Thank you, Lord, for it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So many of you know I like to start out our messages with questions. Some pastors start out with jokes. Some pastors just look like a joke. Don't laugh about that. But I like to start out, and I know that's real funny. I'm wearing a purple shirt, so Ron, if you're listening to this online, yes, I'm supporting K-State today. But anyway, for all you KU fellers that beat Texas, I just want to give you a quick praise. Praise the Lord, that was good. I don't have much clapping there, not even from the Jayhawks fans. That's the bad news. But I like to start out with a question because I like to get us thinking. I want to get you started on something to think about during the whole message. So if you zone out, if you fall asleep, if you miss everything else, I want you to at least start thinking about the questions that I ask in the beginning. This question is a tough question. It's a serious question. It's a question that's so deep. It took Thomas and I longer than an hour after prayer service on Tuesday, and we still didn't have a great answer for the question. But what the question is this, and I want you to think about it seriously in your life. If today was the last day that you had to spend on the face of this earth, so you only have a couple more hours until we hit New Year's. If this was your last day and you found out Jesus was coming tomorrow, what would you do? How would you spend the last couple hours of your day? Now you think about that. That should help you set all your priorities for the new year. Because the truth is, we don't know when Jesus is coming. We don't know when we may take our last breath. But a lot of us, me included at times, we live our lives haphazardly, not really looking forward to what the future has, having just taken for granted that we're going to have tomorrow, taking for granted we might have another day, but we don't really know how much longer we'll have. And so if today was your last day on the face of this earth, we'll give you 12 hours. What would you do with the last 12 hours of your life? It's funny how just a few words can really make you think. You know, there's people in our congregation that face that question. They're no longer here with us, but they face that question. I saw Glenn less than 24 hours before he had passed away. He didn't know that he only had 24 hours left to live. Had he had known that, would he have changed anything? We don't know. The fact is that we all here are alive, and we have a chance to make a difference, a chance to make an impact. And so as I continue to share the message with you, I want you to think about, what would you do if you really only had about 12 hours left to live? You see, some people say, well, I would go and I'd fulfill my bucket list. I always wanted to skydive. I'd find a way to skydive. Or I'd find a way to go to my favorite restaurant that I always like to eat at. Other people think and take it maybe a little bit more seriously. Say, well, if I only got 12 hours, I've known a lot of people over my life. I guess I'd look through my phone book at home. And I'd look through my contacts and my cell phone. Maybe my Facebook friends. And I would tell them that I love them. Maybe I would give a word of advice that I could share with everybody. Maybe I would surround myself with my friends. Nah, probably be just with my intimate family and let them know how much I love them. There have been dads and moms to know that have been known to go and go to a floral shop and buy years and years of flowers to be delivered to their children on their birthday with a little note. Fill out lots of cards. Maybe you would look through those contacts, and as you're looking through those, you'd see, boy, I really haven't been very fair to this person. Or I've really kind of offended that person. Maybe I'd try to make amends with them. And as the day goes by, maybe you'd start thinking more and more about eternity. See, if you're honest with yourself, depending on your age, you probably don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about eternity right now. But as you get older, you start to think a little bit more about what heaven might be like. Maybe you're not saved. And if you're not, maybe you'd say, well, if I only got a couple hours left to live, I need to make this thing right with Jesus. I need to get a hold of a pastor. I need to start reading this Bible. I got to figure out something to know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. So what would you do if you only had 12 hours left to live? I know it's a heavy thought. I know it's a deep thought, but the reason I give it to you, the reason Thomas and I spent so much time discussing it, is because it really sets the priorities of what's most important for your entire next year. Think about that as I share the message. Well, I want to lighten things up after all. It's New Year's Eve. We're supposed to be celebrating. We're supposed to be excited. We're supposed to be happy about all the new potentials and possibilities that the next year can bring in. We shouldn't be all worried about dying in the next couple of hours. So let's shift our thoughts a little bit. So we're supposed to be planning for the future. We're supposed to be setting these resolutions or these goals. And so what you're going to see a lot of times is people are going to say, you know what? I'm going to set a New Year's resolution where I'm going to lose weight. Well, I tried that one year and you can tell it doesn't work out so well for me. Maybe you're going to set a New Year's resolution where you're going to get a new wife. I mean, be a better wife. Sorry about that. You know? Boy, that didn't go over so well either. You know, maybe I shouldn't talk about New Year's resolution because it's going to get me in lots of trouble. I don't know. Maybe you should forgive those that you have a grudge against. All right, honey? Maybe you should go down that path. All right, anyway. But anyway, so New Year's resolutions. So we start setting these New Year's resolutions. We start getting excited. We start thinking about, what am I going to do in this future year? What am I going to do over the next couple of months, couple of weeks? How do I want to be different than I was last year? How do I want to make a change or an impact in my life? I started reading New Year's resolutions, and they're so funny. There's a couple of newspapers. One is in San Diego, I believe. There's another one that's a suburb of Chicago. I don't know if it's Volo or something like that. But they let people post online what their New Year's resolutions are going to be. And I don't think they filter them. Because I read a couple just this morning. One says, I want to become as wonderful as a person as my dog thinks I am. But you think about that. Your dog thinks you're great. I mean, you could not feed it. You could not water it. You can leave it outside all day. It doesn't matter. When you come home, he's like, hey, that person is back. I mean, what if you were as great of a person as your dog thinks you are? That wouldn't be so bad, right? Another person wrote, I wish to become the old crow that my body already says that I am. So this year I resolved to stop trying to look like a Barbie girl just because the people on magazines do. Hey, that's not so bad. Another one says, as much as I dislike government intervention, I resolved to try and get a law passed that requires every person on the face of this earth to have to use their common sense at least once a day. Praise the Lord. Can we sign a petition for that one? Another person says, I resolve to refuse to take the responsibility for my decisions. I'm not going to take them anymore. I'm never going to take the blame. I'm not going to stand by any of my promises. I promise to ignore the needs of everybody except for myself. In short, my resolution is to become a great politician. So there's lots of different resolutions that you can make, but I don't suggest any of those. But I do think New Year's is a great time to look back in the past, think about the things that have been done, and maybe set a goal for your future. You know, like the Bible talks about, kind of putting a mark in the sand. Or like Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. So it's important to kind of think about what your future might be. What do you want to be in the future? And so today I don't want to tell you about making resolutions about losing weight. I don't want to tell you about making resolutions about exercising more, or managing your money better, or quitting addictions or any of those other things. I mean, those are all great things. But the fact is that if you set those for your goals, you may or may not accomplish them. Has anybody here ever accomplished something they set for a New Year's resolution? Anybody? Raise your hand if you ever have. Thomas, you have? Shannon? Good. And Ariel? So I'm raising my hand just to set the example. I don't think I ever have. But to set a New Year's resolution and to follow it and keep it through, that takes a lot of determination. And so today what I want to talk to you about, as you're thinking about what you're going to do in all of 2018, I want you to set just a simple resolution as a Christian, as a man or a woman before God, that says you want to improve your life. You want to make a change for the better this year. That's it. That's your New Year's resolution. I want to make a change for the better this year. You see, isn't that our goal, is to be better than we were last year, every single year? So maybe your resolution is that. And you say, well, Pastor, boy, that is really vague. It is, so you shouldn't be able to keep it, maybe. But it is vague. It's vague on purpose. You just want to be better next year than you are this year. And so I want to offer a couple of ways that you could do that. First is, this is a big one, and some people are going to laugh, some people are going to think it's funny, but I'm telling you, this is a big deal. If you can figure out just this one little thing, it will change your entire life. So first way I think we can make a change for the better is to develop a positive outlook towards life. Develop a positive outlook towards life. Instead of waking up and thinking like Chicken Little, like the sky is falling every 10 minutes, I mean, just wake up and develop a positive outlook towards life. You say, well, boy, that sounds good. If you have all your bills paid, your belly's full, you don't have any sickness, it'd be probably pretty easy. Well, let me tell you, there's going to be times this year where you're going to be broke, where you're going to need assistance, where your belly might not be full, and you might be sick. So that's not what this has to do with. Having a positive outlook in life really starts in the morning. As soon as you get up in the morning, you should talk to the Lord. As soon as you get up in the morning, rather than asking God for all these things that you want, you should thank Him for what He's given you. Watch that little change. Instead of waking up in the morning and asking Him for everything you want, just start thanking Him for what you do have. You see, when you start thanking God and you start praising God, that kind of replaces your need for all those other things. It kind of takes the place of all those desires of your heart because you're thanking God for what you already have. And so when you wake up in the morning, choose, make a decision every single day before you put a foot on the floor to pray. Talk to God and say, God, thank you for what you blessed me with. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the job that I have. Thank you that I have a bed to sleep in and I have heat. I mean, there's a lot of people now that are struggling with paying their heat bills because it's so expensive because it's so cold outside. If you just wake up in the morning and you pray, you talk to God just like a friend, and you thank Him for what He's done for you before you step your foot out of bed, I guarantee your whole year will be different because your attitude is different. You're going through and you're trying to thank the Lord for what He's done. You're going through and you're starting the day in a positive form instead of already needing. If you start the day asking for stuff, you already need a bunch of stuff before you even woke up. And you know what that makes you feel like? You got to catch up because you're behind. There's all these things you already have to get done. There's all this stuff you already have to do. You're already putting yourself in a bad mood. So start in a positive way. Just wake up and say, God, thank you for everything you give me. Thank you for this. And just use the things that come to your mind and just thank him. That simple piece of advice I think will change your whole year. So think about this. When you look back over the last year, last month, last couple of days, and I believe Anthony asked this question in our men's study, was 2017 a good year for you? Are you happy with the way you did things in 2017? Did you do a better job than you did in the past? Think about it. How do you feel about your life? We know the Bible says God came to give us life and life more abundantly. And then we know that's a John 10:10. We know after that it talks about this adversary, the devil who tries to steal our joy and take away our happiness. But think about it. Were you happy with the way you lived your life last year? Do you feel like you're making an impact in the world? And if not, what would help you to make that impact? Would winning the lottery all of a sudden make your life better? You think it would, but would it? If all your marriage and relationship problems, all those things, all your children problems, all those were fixed instantly, would that make your life better? Think about it. What would it take to make your life better? Would it take a job promotion, your kids to do things that you're proud of? Would that make your life better? Because if those things would make your life better, then you're depending on other things other than God. And see, the problem is, the only person that can make your life better really is God. Nobody else can make it better. The scripture that we're talking about today in Isaiah 43, verse 18, is a troubled time for these Israelites. They acted up. They did things they weren't supposed to do. They turned away from God again. Does that sound familiar in our lives? We say, Lord, I love you. Please forgive me of the sin. Help me. And then we're on fire. We're living for the Lord. Life is going great. And then we see something over there, that temptation, and we go chase after that. And then we get lost. And then before you know it, we spent all our money on the temptation. Everything's gone. And then we're like, oh yeah, God, he'll fix all this stuff. Magic genie in the sky. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of all these problems. And he restores you, and then you're happy again. Everything's going great. You're singing praises, raining in your hand in church. And then that other temptation comes by again, and then you're like, oh, check that out over there. Isn't that neat? And then you get lost over there. And then again, you have to come back to the Lord. That's what these Israelites are doing. They're following God. They're going away from God. They're following God. They're going away from God. Well, they get to this point in Isaiah 43 where they've done so many things against God. They've done so many things wrong. They think God is done with them. He's had it. That he's not going to bail them out this time. He is sick and tired of saving their bottoms. But that's not what happens. That's when the scripture is shared. And what the scripture says is as simple as this. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Folks, God wants to do something new in their life. He wanted to change them. Sure, they were being punished. Sure, they weren't doing the right thing. Sure, God wanted to bring them back to him. But he said, guys, don't lose hope. I'm going to do a new thing in your life. And so maybe you've been in the same situation where you've done so many things wrong, where you've said, man, I've been trying to get rid of this sin of stealing or the sin of lust or the sin of cursing or whatever these things are. I'm trying to get better. And so I do it for a little while and then I fall, and I do it for a little while and then I fall. Like, you know what? Maybe God has just given up on me. He doesn't care. It's over. Well, it's not over. He says, I want to do a new thing in you. I want to start a new work in you. So many people think God is stuck on their past. Think that, you know what? God just wants to get you for what you did wrong. That's what they think. But that's not true. The God we serve is a God of unconditional love. The Bible says he'll even forgive people more than 70 times 7. It means unlimited amount of time he'll forgive you. Does he want you to continue sinning? No. But he wants to continue to bring you back and teach you so that you don't fall back into that same trap. That's the God that we serve. And so Israel, even though they were being rebellious against the people, even though they weren't doing the right thing that they were supposed to do, God wanted to restore those Israelites. And he wants to restore us today too.
God is on our side. He's your greatest cheerleader. He wants to see you successful. He wants to pull you away from all those sin and temptation. But the only way that that can happen is if you'll let him. So folks, the first way that we can make a change in our life for the difference is stop holding yourself accountable for what you've done in the past. Ask God for forgiveness. Forgive yourself. Repent means turn your ways around. And let it go. Just like that Disney song in Frozen. Let it go. It's done. God says the book is closed on it. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west. Forget about it. Because you're letting that sin, that thing that you've done wrong, or that thing that somebody else did to you, you're letting it control your life. It's not what God wants. God is more concerned about your future than he is about your past. But if you let that past keep coming up, and let me tell you, Christians, the devil will keep bringing it up and keep bringing it up and keep bringing it up. He'll say, you did this thing, so you're no good. You're not worthy. Tell that devil to take his bags and pack them and get moving. Because Jesus says, when he has forgiven you, your sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world isn't forgiving somebody else. The hardest thing in the world is forgiving ourselves. Because you know who you are. And it may be hard for you to believe that God still loves you. But he does. He loves you unconditionally. So don't let your past weigh you down. You want to make a change in the new year for a difference? Start having a positive look on life. When you get up in the morning, doesn't matter who you were yesterday. You're a new creation in Christ. You woke up again this morning, brand new person. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for these things. There may be things you failed at yesterday, and you ask God, please don't let me fail at those temptations that I failed at. I want to be a new person, a new creation. Bam, you get to start over. That's how awesome our relationship is with God. The second thing I want to mention is we got to have a positive attitude towards God's church. I'm not talking about just the Sunrise Real Baptist Church. I'm talking about the universal church. There's Christians all over. At least they claim to be. I don't know if you've seen them, but I've seen them. I've witnessed to them. Said, hey, man, we'd love for you to come to church with us. Oh, I don't need to come to church. I can worship God mowing the grass in my lawnmower. I can worship God raking leaves. I can worship God watching the NFL game at home. Well, that's pretty cool, but I can't do all that stuff. You must be a better multitasker than I am. But the problem is we got all these people say they're Christians, but they don't want to support the church. They talk bad about the church instead. They criticize the church. And you see, Jesus, he didn't do that. Who is the church anyway? Is this building a church?
No.
I mean, it may be called a church by the government, but a church is God's people, amen? Amen. And what kind of Christian doesn't want to be with other Christians? I mean, Jesus, he didn't just hang out by himself. He went down by the rivers. He saw the prostitutes, the kings. He saw everybody. And he went and he spent time with all of them. Why? Because he wanted to be in church. He loved the church. And so we have to learn to love the church too. Instead of criticizing the church, let's support the church. Let's support our fellow brothers or sisters, our fellow man. You know, I've heard someone say things like, well, churches, the reason I don't go there is there's just not enough services. I work all these different days. I can't go to another service. Folks, if there's a service that you can't go to here, then that's crazy. Because we have services on Tuesday night. We have them on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. If you want church service at your house, you just call or text me and I'll give you church service there too. We got plenty of services. That's not a problem. The problem is we need people that want to hear the service. We need people that want to hear the Word of God. And then people say, well, okay, well, it's not just the services of churches. I mean, it doesn't matter what church you go into. It was funny. One of the greatest sermons I ever preached with the most visitors was a sermon on tithing. It's terrible. I came up here and I was like, oh, Lord, there's like 20 visitors out there. And you want me to preach on tithing? That's all they think I want anyway is their money. Folks, it doesn't matter how much you tithe. It's not making me any richer. I want you to know that. I'll still be driving a Chevy Spark and putting $160 of gas in my truck a week. It's not going to make me any richer. It's not about me. But folks, they say that as a church, all they want is your time. All they want is your money. And I thought, Lord, it's true. Is that all you want? Why is there 20 visitors and I'm preaching on tithing? And I'm thinking quickly, well,
Be instant in season and out of season. Maybe I can preach on something else. Hey, you could always preach on John 3:16. We could do that instead. I prayed, Lord, what is going on? Just preach what I gave you. Real funny, Lord. Easy for you to say up there, big guy. And I preached it. I had a lady come up to me. Her name was Leela Weatherhead. She's passed away now. But she came up to me and she said, I never realized that when we tithe to support the church, that paid for the electricity. And that paid for getting our grass mowed. And that paid for gas. And that paid for helping people in the community. And that paid for missionaries. And I just never realized it. And I wanted to ask her, well, where do you think the money came from? but I didn't, you know. And so she didn't make much, but whatever it was, she would tithe. Whether it was a couple pennies, whether it was a dollar, I don't know what it was. I don't care about that. So that's between you and the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. But she would tithe because she thought, man, no, I'm helping. I'm giving to a cause that's bigger than my own. And folks, through your tithing, your time, your offering, you know what's happened? Over the last several years, 27 people came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior in the place that you sit today. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's because of you giving your time. That's because of you praying. That's because of your financial offerings. That's because of all the stuff that you're doing. You know what else we've done? We've helped people pay their bills. We've helped support their Thanksgivings. We've helped support their Christmases. We've helped do all kinds of things. Do you know why? Because of your prayers and because of your donations. Folks, you're making a difference. You may not feel like you're making a difference, but you are. And so we need to change our attitude towards the church. Not just the Sunrise Church, but the Universal Church. Folks, there's no reason to criticize what God created. What God created is great. He uses a bunch of imperfect people to do a perfect job. And we should be happy that we're part of that. And so wherever you go, when you're amongst your people, you're in church. And that's a praise to me. There was in Matthew chapter 26, there was a story about this woman. She came over and Jesus was with his disciples. She came over and she had this really expensive jar of perfume. And she took this perfume and she broke it. And she put the perfume all over Jesus' head and anointed his body. One of the disciples is like, what are you doing? That's a lot of money worth of perfume. You could have sold that and fed the poor and took care of the poor. And Jesus said, you know, there's always going to be people that are poor. There's always going to be people that struggle. What this woman did today was a blessing. And because of what she did, she anointed my body for burial. And because of what she did, she'll be remembered in Scripture forever. People of the world don't understand what's valuable. They don't. They think the most value is working really hard, making a lot of money, buying a nice car, nice house, nice clothes, nice things. And those are nice. We enjoy those. But you know what? It's not valuable. Stuff's going to break down, fall apart, get stolen. I mean, if you have a nice house, let me tell you, you're going to have roof problems eventually. Got some experience in that department. But they value things that aren't really valuable. And so you got to ask your question again. If you were only given the rest of this day to live, you only have 12 hours left, what would you do with your time today? Where is your value? You see, the church has a different value system than the people. The world thinks wasting your time going to church to worship God is silly when you could be at home watching a football game or a NASCAR race. But to the Christian, missing a time to worship God or to be at church with his people is like missing an opportunity to be with your best friends. The world thinks you got to look out for number one. You got to step on whoever you got to step on to climb the ladder and be the best that you can be. But God says we're supposed to put ourselves second. We're supposed to serve people and love others the way that Jesus loves us. Pray for those that persecute us and bless those that despitefully use us. The world looks at your tax return and they say, man, this person is an idiot. They spent 10, 15, 20%, 5% of their income supporting some church, some nonprofit, some Salvation Army, some children in Africa that are starving. They're silly for doing that. But God looks at it, says through those tithes and offerings, you're able to save a child. You were able to save 27 people that were on their way to hell are now going to heaven. They're going to a place eternally different because of your prayers and your offerings. What does the world know about value? The things that God tells us about value will last forever. I'm going to continue investing my money, my time, my love, and my sacrifice and everything that belongs to God, because I want to see the eternal value and change lives. Amen?
Amen.
So the first thing we need to do is we got to wake up and have a positive outlook on life before we even get out of the bed. We got to say, God, thank you for what you've given me. Talk to the Lord. Have a conversation with him. Enjoy it. Just like you would somebody else you love. The second thing is we got to stop criticizing the church. We're here to help each other and build each other up. There's going to be things that you don't like about one another. There's going to be things you don't like about other churches. But let's not focus on those things. Let's work together to be the best we can be for God. And the third thing I want to share with you is a special thing and a simple thing too. Is we need to display a positive attitude towards others. If we're honest with ourselves, we get in those moods where we even irritate ourselves. You ever been in one of those moods? You are so crabby. You irritate yourself. And then you have the great friend, maybe a wife, a husband, a child, comes up and says, honey, you're in a bad mood. You want to just look at him and say, don't you know I know that? You don't think I don't know I'm in a bad mood right now? I mean, we have those days. Many of us have those days, apparently, based on the reaction I get in the congregation here. But if we could learn to treat others a little bit better, if we could have a positive attitude towards others, that would change the outcome of a lot of things. Think about this. We are only nice to people typically because they're nice to us. Well, the Bible says if that's how good you are, you're just like the rest of the world. It's easy to be nice to somebody who's nice to you. But what about being nice to somebody who's mean to you? What example does that set? See, the world says it's perfectly fine. You have a person that cuts you off. You stick up a couple fingers in traffic when you go by. The world just says that's normal. Evan's feeling convicted right now. But what is it if somebody does something mean to you and you respond to them nicely? Maybe they look at you like, what is wrong with you? They expected a backlashing. But it's tough, isn't it? When somebody's mean to you for you to be nice to them, it's tough. But I think it would amaze the world if we learned to treat people the way Christ treats us. You know, I'm thankful God doesn't tell me I'm in a bad mood every time I'm in a bad mood. You know, that would be terrible. I'm thankful God doesn't treat me the same way I treat him, where like, Lord, you know, I wasn't going to read the Bible today, but I'm just too tired. I'm thankful God doesn't say, well, Alan, I was going to provide money for you to buy food today, but I just didn't get around to it. You know, I'm thankful God doesn't do that to us. I want to be more like Jesus this year. And what that means is I want to love those people that are unlovable. The ones that make you mad, the ones that are mean to you, the ones that spit in your food at McDonald's. I want to love all of them. I want to is the key word. I'm still learning like you. You know, it's funny. If you look on the back of our hymnal, the back of your bulletin, it always has our scripture. Matthew 22, our goal is the church kind of love. Part of it is to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's our church mission. That's what we want to do. And I know it's hard because of people like that. I read something about John Wesley cracked me up. He was a great preacher back in the 1700s. And he was supposed to be a spiffy dresser. He was dressed real nice all the time. And so he finished preaching up a sermon, and he had a bow tie with some long tails. I guess that was cool back in the 1700s. And so that's what he had. And a lady asked him, she came up to him, she said, are you open to some criticism? He said, well, sure, ma'am. She took a pair of scissors, and she said, I don't think a man of the cloth should dress like that. And chopped both of the tails off of his beautiful bow tie. And she said, looked at her, said, took the scissors. Can I have those scissors? She said, yeah. He said, ma'am, are you open to a little criticism? She said, yeah. He said, stick out your tongue. But he didn't cut it off. But you know, it's a great point. It's a great point. You know, there are some people that are tough to deal with. It's a dog-eat-dog world that we live in. But if you think about it, if we could just be nice to people, even if they're mean to us, think about how the world would change. It's really hard to be mean to somebody who's nice to you. Trust me, Shannon does it all the time. No, she does. I'll be mean, I'll be crabby in a bad mood, and she's nice to me. That is so irritating. It is.
It's like, I'm in a bad mood. I want you to be in a bad mood. Can we argue about something, fight about something? No. She'll be nice to me back. That's terrible. You ever had that problem, Ronnie? Yeah, you can't argue with somebody who's nice to you. You try for about 5 minutes, and usually at about the 7.5 minute mark, I get what Shannon wound up pretty good. Then I get what I want, that argument. No, but I really don't want that because then bad things happen. But nevertheless, I mean, if somebody is being nice to you, it's hard to argue with them. And so think about it. If you were nice to all the people you met, the reason we're not nice to them is because of pride, typically. The reason we're not nice to them is because of pride. We're like, they insulted me. Who do they think they are to insult me? Who do they think they are to treat me like this? Well, who do you think you are anyway? You're just the same thing they are. A body of flesh with some red blood inside. The same thing God created over there. It's what he created over here. And so we got to stop thinking of ourselves higher than others. We're all equal to each other. But if you think about it in a serious note, if everyone in the world just loved one another as Jesus loved them, or we use the biblical rule, if we just love one another the same way that we love ourselves, would there be any wars? No. Would there be any stealing? We wouldn't want to take from anybody because we don't want them to take from us. Would there be any murders? Probably wouldn't be any mental abuse or physical abuse. All by just treating people the same way you want to be treated. Strange, huh? Our whole world can be changed. We just solved the world's problems in 30 minutes. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. Neat. So this new year, as I close, I don't want you to make a hard, difficult resolution that you can't keep. I want you to make a mark in the sand. Look back at your life. Think about what happened over the years. Make a mark in the sand and say, you know what? I want to be better than I was last year. And maybe you use one of the ideas that I shared with you today. Maybe you use a different idea. But the ideas I shared with you are simple. Anybody can do it. Doesn't cost any money. Takes very little time. And all three of those things will change your life. The first one, before you even get out of the bed in the morning, give God thanks. Just talk to him for a few minutes. You say he's number one in your life. Say he's your best friend. Ask yourself, do I treat him like that? So maybe this year, the simple thing you want to do is before you get out of bed, just thank God for what you have. That'll help you have a positive outlook on life. The second thing, next time somebody says something to you, whether it's at our church, some other church function, or a group of people that say they're Christians around you, and they say something that ruffles your feathers, instead of getting all mad at them and getting all mad at God and criticizing the church and how all this bad stuff happens, why don't you pray for them? Pray for your own attitude. Because what God created the church for was to support it. He wants us all to use his gifts to glorify him. And it can't do that if the people within the church are being mean to one another. The third thing is, in order to have a good life, you need to be good to people. Appreciate those people. They may not be nice. They might be in a bad mood like you were a couple days ago. But instead of responding the way that you may normally want to respond, the way our human nature tells us to respond, respond in kindness. Respond in love. You can't argue with somebody who shares love. So make a decision this year that you're going to have a change for the better in your life. Have a positive outlook on life. Be positive and supportive with God's church. And have a kind, positive attitude when you look at others. And I tell you, if you could just do one of those things, it'll filter down through every aspect of your life in 2018. And your year will definitely be better than it was this year. Even if you just make one of those changes. And so think about that as you go through. Thankfully, most of us in here, hopefully all of us, will have more than 12 hours left to live. But if that's all we had, how would we live those last 12 hours? Let that decide how you run your life in 2018.